Hello and welcome once again to another installment of Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. This ministry is supported and brought to you through the funds that we earn while washing your car. My name is Matthew, and along with my wife Victoria, we own and operate the Wash and Word hand car washing business located in Churchill, Tennessee. We're on Highway 11W in the Palace Shopping Center, and there you can come and let us work to earn the money to support this ministry. We adhere to the scripture in 1 Corinthians that says, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. And so we wash cars for the glory of God. And we do it because we want to get verse-by-verse Bible teaching back out into the world. You know, the one thing the world doesn't need is another church, but what it does need is more of the full counsel of all of God's Word. And so we believe that verse-by-verse Bible teaching is the most effective way to prepare the congregations and the flock of God for all that this world would have to throw at us and to prepare us to stand firm in the truth in a world that is growing darker by the second. So join me as we pick up where we left off. We're going to spend a little bit of time. We're in the Gospel of John. We are in chapter 19. Jesus has just said his last words on the cross. And those were, of course, it is finished. And then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. And we are taking the time to look at the seven words of Christ. We looked at the first one in our last message, and that was, of course, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so the first thing of the seven that Jesus said from the cross was forgiveness, forgive them. And of course, again, the seven words that Jesus said from the cross represent his entire life, his purpose, and his goal. And the first thing that Jesus, his life encompassed and represented and was forgiveness. Jesus came to bring forgiveness. So it's no big surprise that he says that as the first thing from the cross. And the second thing that Jesus came to do with his life and his purpose and his goal was to reconcile mankind to God. That was the second thing. And that brings us to the second thing that Jesus said while he hung on the cross. So not only did Jesus come to bring forgiveness, but also to reconcile men to God. And for the second thing we get, we have to go back to Luke's gospel in chapter 23, verse 43, where Jesus says to the other prisoner, "Today you will be with me in paradise." So if one of the reasons Jesus came was to bring forgiveness, then also he came to reconcile men to God. So what is he telling this prisoner who's being hung next to him? What is he actually telling him? He's saying, you will be with me in paradise. Well, what makes heaven paradise? Well, according to Jesus, being with Jesus. Did you ever stop to think about that? When he says, today you will be with me in paradise, he doesn't say, today you will be in heaven. He doesn't say, today you will be with with God on the streets of gold. Today you will eat fruit from the tree. He doesn't say any of those things. He says, you'll be in paradise. You'll be with me. Friends, do you realize that to be with Jesus, where Jesus is paradise? And you and I can experience that even now, even today, while we walk with the Lord. To be with Jesus is that is paradise. He is paradise personified. So wherever Jesus is, there is paradise. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Paradise is rest or bliss between death and resurrection. It is rest or bliss between living and dying. It's anywhere Jesus is. Even hanging on the cross, this thief was experiencing paradise, even for a few moments, because Jesus was there with him. But have you ever further asked yourself the question, why? Why did this thief get granted this incredible pardon of his sins, where he would now be with Jesus for eternity? What did he do? What did this thief do to deserve this? Did he do some kind of great act of kindness just before he died? Well, no, not that we know of. Did he atone for his sinful life I mean, not really. He didn't even ask forgiveness of his sins. Did he tithe or pray? Did he do some kind of ministry or sing worship songs? Did he even say a prayer of salvation? Well, the answer to those questions are no, 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 and no. But what he did do, we find in Romans 10:13, for all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus said today, and today equals paradise. Hebrews 3:15, and also we read in Psalms, the Bible says that today when you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Do you hear his voice today? And I'm asking you, Christian, and I'm asking you, non-Christian, if you're listening, do you hear his voice today? Because, friends, tomorrow is not promised. James said that we don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is our life? We are just a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Like the song we sing in our churches, we're like a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. That thief merely cried out from a heart of despair. And the Bible is clear in Psalm 51. It says a broken and contrite heart God will not despise. And so it was the heart of this man that saved him. It was the heart of this man that allowed him to be brought into paradise. Sometimes it just takes a couple of words, even just a heartfelt thought that God knows is coming from the very depths of your soul. My mother's conversion was as simple as God help me as she lay on her bed, practically wishing she was dead from all the things going on in her life. Peter simply said, Lord, help me or save me, as he started to sink from walking on the water. And those two thieves, some say one was a lawyer and one was a doctor. Of course, being two thieves, I'm just kidding, of course. I personally love doctors and lawyers. I mean, someone has to be there to sue the doctors, right? I'm sorry, if I offended anyone, sue me. All right, that's another weak attempt at humor, which is, you know, it's so much fun trying to be humorous when you're speaking to a voice recorder and having messages over the radio. But if you were to see me in person, well, I'm very funny looking. All right, so that's the second word Jesus says from the cross. Today you will be with me in paradise. And of course, paradise is anywhere Jesus is. And to further bring that back, remember, Jesus came. And the seven things he said from the cross were to encompass his life, his purpose, and his goal. And so not only did Jesus come to bring us forgiveness, which was his first word, but he came to reconcile mankind to God, which we just looked at in Today You'll Be With Me in Paradise. And the third thing Jesus' life, purpose, and goal encompasses is to he came to honor the word of God and to honor the commandments. And we see that in here in our Gospel of John, in chapter 19, verse 26, where he tells John, his disciple, he says, woman, here is your son. And to John, he says, this is now your mother. So not only did Jesus come to bring forgiveness and to reconcile men to God, but he also came to honor the commandments. And my first and obvious question is always, why? Why, out of seven things that he had to say from the cross, why was 1/7 of them something that seems very insignificant in John and his mother being reconnected after his death? I believe Jesus did this because he was simply honoring his mother, which was the fifth commandment of God. Jesus came to honor the commandments and also to honor the word of God because he was the word of God incarnate. And so by doing this, he was honoring the commandment, that is, to honor your mother and your father. So he was honoring his mother by bringing somebody. We believe at this time, Joseph was probably dead, Jesus' earthly father. And Jesus being the oldest son, you know, we read in James says that true religion that God accepts is to look after widows and orphans. So Jesus is looking after his mother here, who is probably a widow and soon to be without eldest son. And so he looks to John. And remember, John was intimate and faithful, and he walked with Jesus from the beginning to the very end. In fact, when they went to go choose an apostle or disciple to fulfill Judas Iscariot's position, that one of the criteria was that they had to be one who walked with him from the beginning. So this was an important aspect of it, and John certainly did that. He didn't give it to James. He didn't give this charge to Jude, because even though they were Jesus's half-blood brothers, they came as a believer later in life, but not John. So Jesus honored the Word because he was the Word. In John 1:4, remember it said that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus was the Word. He was and is the Word. He's the commandments, and he is the prophecies, and he is the promises of God, all fulfilled in his life. And so this seemingly obscure phrase comes from the cross was in essence a display of validity of God's word. And he showed by example that we are to honor and respect God's word, including but not limited to family. And if we do not honor God's word, then we do not honor Jesus. And if we do not honor Jesus, then we do not honor God's word. Okay, let's look at the fourth thing that Jesus said from the cross with the time that we have left. And that fourth thing we find in Matthew's gospel, verse 46 of chapter 27, where Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me or abandoned me? That's what the word forsaken means. It means abandoned. And this, of course, was quoted from Psalm 22, verse 1. So not only did Jesus come to bring forgiveness, reconcile men to God, honor the word and the commandments, but he also came to identify with humanity. And that is the fourth thing that he says. Why have you forsaken me? How does this identify with humanity? Well, first let's ask the question, did God actually leave Jesus? And if he did, because he and the Father are one, how is it even possible that he could leave Jesus if they are the same? Honestly, I don't know. And I can't answer that question with certainty, but I can answer this. We know from the other Gospels that it got dark for 3 hours at one point while he hung up on the cross. And I believe that this darkness was a time when the sins of man were being transferred from mankind to Jesus. Like when you're downloading something on a computer and you're waiting as the download is taking place. There was a 3-hour downloading process that took place when the sins of man were being downloaded onto the shoulders of our Savior, the Son of God. And it was during this time, it was dark. And there was a reason for this, because God had to turn his back. He had to forsake and abandon Jesus during this time. C.S. Lewis put it this way, the Son of God became a man so that men could become sons of God. I love that description. The Son of God became a man so that men could become sons of God. Also in 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So in order for us to become one with God, to become sons and daughters of God, in order for us to become righteous and have the righteousness of God, we had to give our sins to Christ. And so when he became sin for us, God had to turn his back. It wasn't because he wanted to. It wasn't because it was his choice. He had to, because there is no sin in the presence of God. There can be no sin in the presence of God. So fully God became fully man. And at that moment, he turned his back while our sins were dumped upon the body of Jesus. We have something in Christ that Jesus didn't. We have the promise that he will never leave us and never forsake us. Do you realize that? The very Son of God didn't even have that promise, because there came a time where God did forsake his Son. And so Jesus can understand and identify with us when we feel forgotten and alone and ignored. The only problem with that is we are never truly alone, because our feelings lie to us. God said that he will never leave you and never forsake you. And so for a moment in time, Christ identified with those who are truly separated from God, who have yet to receive the forgiveness of their sins. that is what it means when Jesus came to identify with humanity. Have a blessed day.